notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
So obviously, a lot of stuff happened on the recruiting front while I was gone.
And continues to happen.
I was, you know, the Arch Manning commitment happened on a Thursday. I was gone, Friday was my last day. Since then, Texas, and when Arch Manning committed to Texas, Craig, if you look at the 24/7 sports team recruiting rankings, I think they were 18th or 19th. As of right now, with 18 verbal commitments now, they've got the number 3 ranked class in the country. And keep in mind with this class, when you start to figure out numbers and what this class is going to look like, I'll keep reminding the listening audience of this, and especially as we get closer to December and that first signing window opening, this is going to be one of two recruiting cycles, and we'll see if there are more going down the road, but this is the first of two where the initial counter rule, where you can only sign 25, and then you get an okay, you sign 23 and one, so now you've got two that you can roll back, so you can really take 27 or whatever. This is the first of two cycles where the initial counter rules don't apply. All coaches have to do, and that's basically, it's one of those rules to help like your G5 schools and a school like Kansas, who I know Lance Leipold has talked about it. Pretty much every head coach post Charlie Weiss has talked about it. They've been at such a scholarship deficiency with the transfer portal, they need to catch up. So basically it's a rule to benefit the have nots in college football that the haves are definitely going to take advantage of. So you don't have to worry about trying to figure out numbers. It's just going to give you a headache. But just understand, with coaches only having to manage the 85, this class, however many you take over, when you figure out, okay, how many seniors do you have on the roster? How many guys can leave early for the draft? Basically, once you start to go over whatever's going to put you at the 85, just count on, in the case of Steve Sarkisian in Texas, say, okay, that's one guy that'll probably be here for the spring or maybe the 2022 season that won't be here for spring, or a guy that's here in the spring that won't be here by the time those new recruits get in for the summer. So yeah, just keep that in mind as we go through this class. But the most recent verbal commitment for Texas, it was a big one, literally and figuratively. Sadir Mitchell, one of the top interior defensive line prospects in the country. Out of a prep factory, Craig, that I can't remember Texas taking a kid out of Bergen Catholic in New Jersey. It is one of prep powerhouses on the East Coast. And Texas gets Sadir Mitchell. They won a head-to-head battle with Miami, with Texas A&M, and Georgia. And we know Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, they like those big space-eating defensive tackles. That's what Sadir Mitchell is. But I wrote this at Horns 24/7, and on the recruiting front, Hudson Standish has a really good recap of everything that happened from the Arch Manning commitment leading up to Sadir Mitchell's commitment. Also, Mike Roach is back from vacation, so Mike has a column this morning of just kind of his thoughts of everything that went down last week. So if you need some good recap stuff, the Stampede is up in Horns 24/7. Go get your recruiting fix there. But my column on the Sadir Mitchell and kind of the viewpoint I took of it, I think back to Bo Davis's first stint at Texas, and he's getting a chance now to do what he started to do at that point, but circumstances didn't allow him to finish the job, and that's to build an interior defensive line that has some staying power that can sustain this program for years to come, so Texas can be strong at the point of point of attack for the foreseeable future, especially getting ready to go into the SEC, which, as I've always said and will continue to say, it is the ultimate line of scrimmage league in college football. So I went back, Craig, to Bo Davis's first stint at Texas. He was at Texas for three seasons, 2011 through 2013. And he got hired so late in the process because he was the hire to replace Mike Tolleson. And Tolley retired after the 2010 season. We all love Tolley. You've gotten to talk to Tolley the years.
I have.
One of the best guys to just sit down and talk about past players, past experiences. I've gotten the chance to talk to Tolley in some of those settings a couple of times. Great guy, Mike Tolleson. But Tolley retired after 2010, so Bo Davis was hired. Well, by the time he was hired, Texas already had numbers were tight, and the class was pretty much filled at that point. Texas already had commitments from Desmond Jackson, who's a really highly touted defensive tackle out of Spring Westfield, and a guy that it never really came together. I felt he had as much upside as any prospect in the state in that 2011 cycle. Quincy Russell out of San Antonio Sam Houston didn't qualify academically, ended up going to junior college. I actually went up to Trinity Valley, then went to Oklahoma, and I don't think made a dent at Oklahoma. But so Bo Davis really didn't get the 2011 cycle. And you fast forward and you look at 2013 and that 2013 cycle and 2014. 2014, he didn't get to finish the cycle. And I'll get to that in a second and how kind of college football coaching works in kind of weird, mysterious ways with how things happen. And then the 2013 cycle, numbers were so tight, you look at the two prospects that Texas targeted, and really this is how tight numbers were. They couldn't hold on to the one interior defensive lineman they had, which was A'shaun Robinson, which actually, in a weird roundabout way, Bo Davis ended up getting to coach him at Alabama because he flipped and signed with Alabama late in the process. And they also made a run at Andrew Billings from Waco High, who decided to stay local, stay home, and he signed with Baylor and had a really good, productive career at Baylor. So really, the only cycle in his first stint at Texas, Craig, where Bo Davis kind of uninterrupted, no issues on the periphery, just got to dig in, get to work, was the 2012 cycle. So what did Texas do on the interior defensive line in that 2012 cycle? Well, he helped Texas finish the job recruiting Malcolm Brown. You get a five-star defensive lineman out of Brenham, a guy who left Texas as a consensus All-American and was a first-round draft pick, two-time Super Bowl champion, and still going strong in the National Football League. He also helped Hassan Ridgeway, who was an edge player at Mansfield High, part of a really good Mansfield program when Jeff Hume was the head coach there. He was an edge player in high school. He helps Hassan Ridgeway kick inside. So he had Ridge in 2012 as a redshirt, and then in 2013, Ridgeway has a great year in 2014. Kind of got bit by the injury bug in 15, but Ridgeway ends up being a fourth-round draft pick. He's still in the NFL. What else did Bo Davis do? He and Stacy Searles played a really pivotal role in helping Mack Brown kind of debunk that, I don't want to recruit junior college guys or junior college guys going to fit. Can they handle it academically at Texas? He and Stacy Searles kind of helped Mack Brown see that, you know what, you can recruit JUCO guys and they can be productive. And they recruited Brandon Moore, who was only here for a year, but they also recruited Donald Hawkins, who was a really good two-year player for Texas, actually got a cup of coffee in the National Football League. And I don't think Bo Davis gets enough credit for this, Craig. Think about the career of Chris Whaley. Went from labeled a colossal bust as a running back take. Bo Davis brings him into the interior defensive line room, and had it not been for that knee injury late in the year at West Virginia, Chris Whaley might have gotten drafted in 2014. He was having a great year and actually ended up, basically, the Cowboys signed him as an undrafted free agent and immediately IR'd him, knowing, okay, this is basically going to be a redshirt year for him coming off the injury. And then the second year, suffers an Achilles injury, and that was pretty much the end of Chris Whaley's football career. But I don't think Bo Davis got enough credit for what he did with Chris Whaley. So recruiting Malcolm Brown, helping develop Hassan Ridgeway, developing Chris Whaley. We saw that first stint that Bo Davis could recruit talent to Texas and develop talent at Texas. But again, because that was such a short shelf life, didn't really get to see what that looks like over multiple recruiting cycles. Well, now you look at it, you look at the guys he inherited from the previous regime, and you talk about player development, developing a guy like an Alfred Collins or a Vernon Broughton, or inheriting a guy that I think is a real gem from the previous regime, their recruiting efforts in Byron Murphy. There's some really good talent on hand to develop. And you look at last recruiting cycle, recruiting interior defensive linemen. We kind of got a glimpse in the spring of Aaron Bryant and Jarray Bledsoe in his first full cycle back. And now with Sadir Mitchell, now we're seeing what it looks like with Bo Davis stacking interior defensive line talent and the ability to develop what you've got, recruit guys and develop those guys and build something that can have some staying power. Rightfully so, because of the issues Texas has had on the offensive line for pretty much the better part of the last 15 years, a lot of attention, and rightfully so, gets focused on the job Kyle Flood's doing. But don't lose sight of Bo Davis and what he's doing with that interior defensive line group. And I know Bo Davis endeared himself to Texas fans when the bus video got leaked and just his passion and you know all that stuff that came out in that. Don't lose sight of the fact that this is a guy that can recruit, this is a guy that can coach his tail off, and that is a very pivotal group to not only this program being really good in 2022 and helping Texas win games in the Big 12, but again also looking forward to the SEC, building that interior defensive line. Those massive humans, Craig, they want those guys on both sides a line of scrimmage. And when you're talking about massive defensive linemen, you need big humans who can move. And it's very rare to find guys that are that big and that athletic. But you look at where Bo Davis is getting them from, he's going all over the place. They're going to the Southeast. It's the state of Texas. Now it's the East Coast. It's really going to be interesting to watch and see how this interior defensive line group comes together over the next few cycles.
It was not lost on me that over the weekend, Sark tweeted out the hashtag large humans.
Yep.
It's just large humans.
Yeah, because Sadir Mitchell goes 6'5", 335.
Yeah, that's a large human.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
But I don't know where you stand on that, because, I mean, if you look at Bo Davis's first stint at Texas, you got a glimpse of it, but he really didn't get to see what he could do. And I'd say the same thing for right. Stacy Searles and a lot of guys on that staff. You just – you saw enough promise, but you didn't get to see what those guys could do with the resources at Texas over a sustained period of time.
It was an incomplete grade.
Yeah. Now Bo Davis gets a second chance to do that, and you know there was enough positive in the first run and enough positive at the other places he's been to see, okay, give him a chance to build this thing. He can build you a really good interior defensive line for the next few years.
All right, there's your Longhorn Notebook for this hour. We'll have another one coming up next hour. Up next, we will have Inconceivable. So, there's a little holiday weekend Florida Man carryover and some fast food for Snoop as well when we continue with Light the Tower here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on The Horn app and at hornfm.com.
B&E. I mean,